Hello and welcome to the Anything But Quiet Time podcast. We are Rochelle and Carter. It is an old-fashioned whodunit here because Rochelle has committed a crime.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And so am I going to tell my story? Or are you going to?
Well, I would love to. I'll be telling a lot of people your story. But no, I do want to say before you get into it, because this is it's a funny story in some, yes, in some parts, but it really is a good situation because it's not black and white. It's in a gray area.
Yes. The digital footage of me doing what I did is in black and white.
That is in black and white.
And so the old fashioned whodunit, we know whodunit.
Yeah, it's you. You're caught red-handed. But it's one of those you may hear and you go, I honestly don't see the big deal. Or you may hear it and go, oh, I see why she felt this way, okay, and I hope she did the right thing.
So let's kind of get to the whole thing so that you can understand what Carter's saying. Quite lovely. You said it lovely.
Great.
So my husband and I have been in the market for a refrigerator, and we have been staying in the same rental for almost 10 years. Mm-hmm. It came with a refrigerator. It was not a new refrigerator when we moved in.
Sure. Yeah.
So you can only fathom what this is doing now. And it feels kind of passive aggressive. My mom and dad, when they come to stay with us, oh, the water in the door still doesn't work.
You know? They say it still doesn't work?
That's fine. It's awesome that they now have a great refrigerator with water and ice in the door. And I know that sounds so ridiculous. Wherever you're at with refrigerators, I hope it's a good place. The one that we have, no, not so much.
You're going to be singing this soon about your old fridge. In the arms of an angel.
And we're sending it to the garage. That's where we put the food that we're still thinking about consuming. We're
right,
not sure.
Right.
But we decide we're going to go get this refrigerator. My parents, ironically, coming into town very soon, they won't be able to say anything.
Nice.
We'll have this nice new refrigerator.
Stick it to them.
And so we go out, we shop, we know which one we want. And then my husband finds an ad that says, guess what? This exact refrigerator is open box at an outlet, $1,000 cheaper.
Amen.
I will drive across. Now, you may have heard us talk about, we live in H-Town, the Houston area. If you drive across town, it's not a quickie.
No.
Drive.
It is spread out and it is packed with cars.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, I had to be somewhere after we were done sharing in this podcast and I'm like, oh, it's only 2 miles away. And it's a 20-minute commute.
You measure in minutes here or hours here, not miles.
Exactly. Here. So I get there. My husband can't go with me. It's after work. I'm able to go. So we know we've got the number of the fridge. I go back in this almost like Raiders of the Lost Ark warehouse looking area with all the electronics and appliances. And I am able to, with the help of an employee, locate the refrigerator. And it looks great. It's $1,000 less. All right. And he opens the fridge doors and he goes, oh, it looks like the vegetable trays, you know, the little, you can put the lunch meat or something in there, the veggie trays. Those drawers are missing, but everything else is here.
So that's what's wrong with it.
And I'm like, oh, the plastic bins, the little drawers?
Yeah.
But there's several other refrigerators, exact same model. They're a little less nice in condition, but they have the drawers in there. I'm like, can I take it from that refrigerator and put it in this one?
Yeah.
And he says these words, well, technically, nothing ever good comes after a sentence that starts with, well, technically, for or against you, you know? You're not supposed to, but people do when I walk away and I don't know about it.
So he is giving you the free pass.
He's saying, if I go up this aisle here, I have no idea what you're going to do.
Ah, yes.
And I'm like, are you serious right now? I'm like, are we really saying these things to each other? Oh, okay. He said, now there's video footage camera. Right over there, we could have video footage. We check in and temper it, you know, every once in a while.
He made sure to say that part.
Yeah, yeah. But he led me to think that that might not even be a big deal at all. Like, how often do they check the cameras? And do they tape over or whatever they do? So there was this moment of gray area for me where I'm like, normally, if this is not, like, people aren't legit happy about it and they're actually looking for it on camera or for people thieving or whatever on camera, I don't know that I want to be in connection to that, but you're a worker here and apparently it's not done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a couple of plastic bins. They have so many models on the floor. I don't really know. I don't work there. So, you know, when you work at a store or when you work for whatever company you work for, there are things that you might let slide. Like every once in a while, a waiter or a waitress might say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to charge you for that chocolate milk or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's nice. Okay. So do they have the authority to give you that okay, that little nod? You know, you think about those kinds of things. And so that's kind of where I was at in that grayish area. The Holy Spirit is not grayish when he's directing you and you feel in your heart you need to go a certain way. So no matter what your mind is telling you, what is God telling you? And in that moment, I'm like, well, am I overthinking this? I took the bins out of another refrigerator, Carter, and I put them in this refrigerator that I'm going to go buy.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire walk from the back of Raiders of the Lost Warehouse, Raiders of the Lost Ark, to the cash register where this gentleman is waiting for me, I'm feeling ickier, weirder. I'm kind of looking around me like, where are those cameras anyway? Like, do you see?
Yeah.
The next step I take is a little bit closer to the sin and further away from the will of the Lord.
Mm.
And you start to feel yuckier when the Holy Spirit says, Rochelle, I don't care what other people do. I don't even care what maybe I lead other people to do or not do in regards to the circumstance. I know what I'm telling you to do. So I am at the register now, and the manager is behind the register area, and they're helping me with the sale. And I certainly don't want to throw this other employee under the bus at all, so I'm not going to say anything about him. Because that's when I choose to unload everything. Sir, I took the drawers out of another refrigerator and I put them in my refrigerator. I just want you to know, I want to be honest with you. The look on his face of trying to measure the words that I just had shared.
Yeah, right. First of all, we know that we can't trust you with matters of national security because you lasted 5 seconds, okay? But second, I mean, but you were honest,
I'd be
though.
A terrible spy.
You would be a terrible spy. But you were honest about how you were feeling and how you were, more importantly, convicted.
Yes. And so I told him he was very kind. And he explained to me the situation apparently in the store. It's like we have to, if it has to be the exact same drawers from the exact same kind of refrigerator. I said, it is. It's the same model. I know that. And he said, I trust you. And I'm like, at this point, why would you do that? But I did out myself. So I said, I want to be honest with you. I did this and I promise you that they are the same drawers. And he said, then it's okay. Okay, so there was relief in that. And I shared it with my son a little bit later on. I told him exactly what had happened. This is my youngest. He'll be 14 in July. I'm not to the part where I have, you know, spilled my guts yet to the manager and telling the story. And my 14-year-old looks at me and goes, Mommy, that's not what Jesus would want us to do.
Ooh.
And wow, that felt the weight of a hammer coming down on your heart. It's just like when your child calls you out.
Mm.
What was very ironic about that situation is that almost milliseconds after he had said that, I caught him swiping one of his dad's cookies. Which,
what did he say when you called him out?
It was a gourmet specialty cookie, which was clearly not his anymore. And he was like, took it. I said, what about, you just said, this isn't what Jesus would want you to, this is the same thing.
Yeah.
You just stole a cookie. And he goes, I am very good at directing others and how they should go, but I, So we're going to have a whole talk about that.
Every human that's ever walked the face of the earth is good at that part.
Exactly.
I just imagine him telling you, mouthful of cookie, this is where you went wrong.
This is really inappropriate.
Well, I think it's interesting because there's a couple stories that come to mind for me when it comes to authority.
Yeah.
My grandma told each, she has four grandkids, and she said to all of us before high school, if you get through high school without getting a ticket, a driving ticket, or getting in a wreck that's your fault, I'll give you $1,000 when you graduate high school. And it was 2 months before I graduated.
Oh, no.
And I got a ticket. Oh. And we, before even approaching her, we fought it. We, you know, we did all that. And basically, we paid the court costs and got it expunged or whatever it would be, where it's not on my record. And this is just a general thing. We didn't know anybody necessarily. It was just a general thing. You could go and ask for mercy. And they said, pay court costs and you'll be good. So then I called my grandma and I said, so here's the situation. I did get a ticket.
Yes.
But it's not on my record. Yes. And she goes, it's not on your record? And I said, no. And she goes, then I guess it never happened.
Mm.
But it's her $1,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
She had the authority to say it.
Exactly.
And just like my dad taught me, made me in humility go back into a McDonald's when I said, I just have a water. They gave me a cup. And then I thought, well, you know what? I kind of feel like a Coke.
Yeah.
And then he said, is that a water cup? And I said, yeah, I just kind of felt like, you know, and he goes, you stole.
Yeah.
And then when they let it go, which sure. I was like, you know, 10 years old, and of course they're going to let it go. It's still not necessarily their authority to do that. Right. It would be either to the manager, or the general manager, or probably the franchise owner.
Yeah.
Really, they would have to say, okay, I bestow this gift on you.
Well, props to your dad. Because that left an imprint on you.
Yeah. And I, to go back in there, I think it was the next day. I had to go back in there and go, so here's what happened yesterday.
And you were probably their most favorite moment of the day because you were probably adorable.
Well, it was a teenage worker and I don't think she cared at all.
Okay. And so then there's that part of it too. We start weighing it out in our minds. Well, I don't know that anybody cares.
Right.
It doesn't matter if anybody else cares.
Yeah.
If God said to do it or not to do it, then I'm to obey.
Yeah.
And what was really kind of tragic in all of this, because this is not, I mean, we're laughing about it, but this has never been in my wheelhouse before. Like, I don't remember ever being tempted to steal. You know, like every once in a while you're in the grocery store and one of the peanut butter jars will have, hey, buy this peanut butter jar. Here's a little dollar off coupon right now.
Uh-huh.
And I'll take that and I'll get a better looking jar or something than the one that the sticker was on. But it's...
Oh, I see.
And I may go, oh gosh, is this okay? Well, it's the exact same product. So yes, it's okay.
Uh-huh.
But they'll have those hesitation moments where like, can I take the tag off the pillow yet?
out of the mattress, so, right? Yeah.
But I've never really had a temptation. Now, my brother would tell you as a young child, klepto. And I am not making that up. The kid had a jacket where the liner, there was a hole in it. He would go into stores. He would take the thing out of the package so it wouldn't set off any alarms. He would sneak it into the lining of his jacket so that if anybody ever said, empty your pockets, well, he could empty his pockets. Because that toy was stashed in the lining of his jacket.
Yeah.
He stole a lot. I never did, ever.
And that's what's, it's so hard in this one. Because I think when you say you've never struggled with it, probably because it wasn't about stealing, even though it can be considered stealing, right? I mean, we're going to acknowledge that. But it's not stealing, I think, in your mindset. It's just, I'm so close and there's those drawers. I just want this process to be done.
Yeah.
Because here's what's black and white. Bad is going into a store and stealing something. Good is the owner saying, you know what? I'm going to throw in a couple of drawers for you. That's right. Stealing is wrong.
Yeah.
The middle where you did have a blessing from an employee, you had an authority figure, but it's not necessarily his to give, makes it a really hard situation.
So what does God say?
Yeah.
When you're in that place of what you feel might be a gray area, and our friend Raina, she shares, it's a yucky feeling when you're not in alignment with God. Mm. And that's the perfect word for it. You feel yuck. And I felt yuck. And I am standing there at the cash register and I'm texting back and forth with my husband. I'm even starting to think now, oh my gosh, what if they do look it up on footage? What if they send this to my boss? I work at a Christian radio station. You know, all these start, they're going to have this picture of this former radio host stolen these tubs out of a... All of these what if questions, and as ridiculous and far-fetched as that might sound, the point being is that God was using that to weigh my heart and realize this is not what I want you to do. And so I was repentant with my spouse. I'm repentant with the manager. But it wasn't until my quiet time the very next day where God said, huh, what about me? The one that really, really matters. Because I could have probably gotten away with that. Nobody would have ever noticed. My husband would have never noticed. And maybe nobody would have ever cared.
Sure.
But
sure.
God did.
Yeah.
And so that gray area of like, well, nobody cares. And you, again, you may be listening to this scenario and thinking, I don't see the big deal. And maybe that's because that's not the Holy Spirit telling you and pressing it upon you. If you feel like it's a gray area, maybe you've worked at an outlet before, I don't know, and you've experienced that, you know, the backlog or whatever that they got in the back.
Right, yeah.
So, but for me, I felt this is deceptive, this isn't okay, and every step I took closer to the cash register made me feel yucky.
Yeah, I think what's one thing to keep in mind, it doesn't matter what people say. And we've talked a lot about the employee, but friends will definitely try to tell you, oh, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
Friends will always try, yeah. Even good friends.
Yeah.
But real friends, I'm talking probably it's just a couple of people maybe, will be able to say, you were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that fight with your coworker you're telling me about, you were wrong, not them. Yeah. And most people won't do that. And so it's good to have somebody that'll do that. But I think the conviction part of it, we've talked about this many times, but I think there's one part we haven't really honed in on. There's a couple of times Paul says it, but it's in Romans 14, especially where he's talking about conviction. And there is meat that is sold in the market that has been blessed to pagan gods. And a lot of the Christians are going, I don't know whether it's right to eat it or not, because I'm not a pagan anymore. And I feel like it's wrong. And then some people are like, it's just meat. Who cares? And Paul said, whatever you're convicted on, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he put it was—
And this is a lesser issue too, because you're talking about meat. We're not talking about spiritual truth in terms of like, well, if somebody else believes that there's a different path to heaven. You know, we're talking about—
That's a good thing to clarify. We're not talking about things that aren't taught. We are talking about things that aren't explicitly taught in Scripture.
Yes.
You can't say, I think getting drunk's right for me. It's fine. I'm not convicted about it.
Yeah.
But that's the part I'm going to hone in on a second, because I think it's really interesting.
Okay.
And so there are people that feel, because it's not taught, whether you should eat meat blessed to pagan gods or not. Actually, even current day, this can be an issue, right? There's a place, halal. There's a halal meat shop right by my house, which is a deli or a meat place that is, it's done in I believe it's Islam, that there are, I don't know all the context of it, but I know people have said, I don't know if I feel comfortable because of all the things associated with it.
Mm-hmm. People feel that way about yoga.
Yoga, certainly.
And
yeah,
the positions that were, initially, these are positions that you would be in terms of worship of the Hindu gods.
My wife feels this way. She used to be about yoga. She's not about yoga
and
anymore.
And she feels that way. And I've talked with people on both sides of that.
Sure.
That
sure.
They're okay with it, but obviously respecting those who are not okay with it.
And that was Paul's point, right?
Yeah.
However you feel convicted in these things, you're right. And you should honor that conviction. And the way he phrases it is, if you have a weak conscience, is how he puts it. If you have a weak conscience that you shouldn't take these drawers, and somebody else says, you know, especially if they have experience, right? And they're like, I know how this works. It's done all the time. It's really not that big of a deal. Like, okay, I could see something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's that fine line of, at what point does it cross over to that verse where God says, I gave them over to their sin?
Mm-hmm.
Because I could say, I'm just not convicted about it. I think it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Or am I so stone-hearted in this situation? Because maybe I'm not even going to God about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so like, no, it's fine. I don't feel convicted about it. Did I stop and ask if I'm convicted about it?
No, that's a good point. I've often thought, though, that because he is in me, unless I have so squandered those moments where his still small voice is spoken into the situation. Unless I have so turned a deaf ear to God, I'm going to get the yucky vibe if I'm out of alignment with God. I'm going to feel yucky. And when I say feel, that going beyond the fleeting emotional part of a feeling, there is a weightedness to my spirit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that, I believe, is the Holy Spirit conviction.
Yeah.
So, yes, there are those moments where I feel that if I'm connected with Holy Spirit as well as I can be, and I'm obviously a sinner saved by grace, as all of us are. Romans is a great book all the way around. Chapter 3 tells us that, though. Not the 14th one about meat, the third chapter. But we've all sinned. We fall short. Period. That's why we need Jesus. Yeah. Period. We're going to make a mistake. Jesus even says, if you thought about taking the drawers, Rochelle, it's like you did it anyway. If you like thought about it, you mapped it out in your mind about how that would look, and you are now flirting with temptation. This isn't even just being tempted. Tempted isn't a sin. Following through with temptation in your brain and then actually acting it out, that's sin territory. Mm-hmm. If I am connected with the Holy Spirit and I know that I'm getting a yucky vibe, that's when I feel like I need to stop down and ask. Mm-hmm. I think there are some things that, because I am blessed through the person of Jesus Christ, that I walk forward without asking every jot and tittle, right? I'm going to walk in his truth. I know what's right for my life. And maybe I don't stop down and ask him about this exact comforter or whatever I'm about to purchase or something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's well, like, I'm he gonna, is the comforter.
And I don't mean to put that as a silly thing. Maybe you have asked him about a comforter. That's fine. I'm looking for a very specific pillowed comforter. That's great. But I use that as an example that, yes, I think it's very important what you're saying is to make sure, did I even ask God before I tasked myself with thus and so? Sometimes I think we can overly question things because I know from my own experience with my obsessive compulsive disorder, that's led me down to down a path of worrying over everything, mm-hmm. whether or not I've done everything exactly. Have I checked all these boxes? Because somehow it's going to make me unfaithful in my love and seeking after Jesus. And so finding the balance in that, there's our favorite word, balance.
There's a lot of nuance in it because certainly, I mean, I think we should be living in freedom, love God, love people. Have fun. I put in have fun, right? You know, enjoy life, follow the principles of Christ, find life in it. Don't worry about, I didn't say hi to that person and should I have done it now? Maybe they're going to hell. I mean, you know, God knows what we go through.
The spirit
of
the Lord,
right?
There is freedom.
Exactly. But also I have blind spots.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think certainly, you know, this gets into a whole theological thing, right? Where if somebody is a professed Christian and doesn't show it at all, I have good question. I have good reason to question whether they're a Christian. Now, that doesn't mean you go, I don't think you're a Christian. Mm. But if you know them well enough, why? Why mm-hmm. do you think it's okay to sleep around or, you know, get drunk every weekend or whatever they might be doing that's just so, you know, I'm not talking about one mistake. I'm talking about a habitual pattern where there's no fruit in their life. Mm. But it's interesting that I think there are blind spots where I go back to church camp, honestly, mm-hmm. where I think people just get in a pattern and they're living for Christ, you know, in most areas of their life as best they can.
Yeah.
But there might be one thing that pastor shares, and I kind of love how with church camps, it's a pastor you've never heard of, you have no context for, you have no preconceptions necessarily, and then all of a sudden they just say something that rocks you.
Yeah.
And you go, I've been doing this in my life.
Yeah.
And I feel convicted. And I love how somebody put it, how do they put repentance? They put a change of allegiance. I had never actually heard it put that way before. You've heard changing of the mind. You've heard maybe a lot of things about what is repenting.
Yeah.
And a change of allegiance.
Yeah.
And I'm switching from my team in this category, my selfish team where I thought I was the captain, to God's team.
Yes.
And so I don't know. It's nuance is the key word, I think, for this whole conversation of with conviction, with actual sin, with... But with this whole thing, I want to put on there, I think what you said was accurate I think what you did was accurate because if I do disobey a conviction, even if it's silly to somebody else, even if it's not sin for somebody else, if I disobey my conviction, then it is sin for me.
Yes. Yes. And here is, I think, a place where we naturally want to go. Let's say I did follow through and take the drawers and didn't say anything.
Uh-huh. Right.
The next step, do I do something like that again? And maybe even take somebody else, quote, down with me?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I did it. It's okay. It's not a big deal.
Sure.
Or even chastise them. Why are you making such a big deal about this? It's not a big deal. So there's this thing in the scripture you may have heard of called creation of the world.
And oh, that thing. Yes.
That thing. We talked about this at length in a couple podcasts ago about the enemy and how he is smooth. He's slick. He chose a serpent for a reason. He's a sly guy. And he didn't just go, hey, y'all want to disappoint God? You know, he didn't just do that. He was like, he was sneaky. And he knew exactly how to manipulate the situation where it sounded just good enough.
Yeah, yeah.
And it sounded just honest enough. God knows what will happen if you eat this fruit. Well, God did know what would happen. But, you know, you won't die. That was an outright lie.
Yeah.
So there was like bits of truth and stuff in there. And I think that's what we can do. We can start allowing the enemy to wrap his spidery web around us. If we let him. And yeah, it sure sounds good to be like God. It sure sounds good to feel, oh, I'm not going to have to go on Amazon and look for refrigerator drawers. You know, this is going to be extra work. I don't want to deal with extra stuff. My life has so many other things on my life's plate. I don't want to add anything else. I mean, all the places that I could take it and did take it in that moment.
And some of it's just accurate, honest, even right sometimes.
Yes, I am busy. But
it's not worth the integrity, right?
No.
It's not worth your integrity.
Looking back, I could have easily gone to the manager after having that conversation with the employee and said, sir, I don't know if this is okay, but there's a refrigerator back there I would like. Would you be all right with it? It sure seems like his response to me initially, I mean, from when I told him, when I outed myself, he was like, you know what? After we talked about it, he's like, that's okay, as long as I know they're from the same refrigerator.
Yeah.
Boy, I would have saved myself some pain. And even if he had said, I'm sorry, ma'am, no. Is it the end of the world? I could easily turn around and walk out the door.
Yeah.
Could God not provide the exact same refrigerator somewhere else? I mean, all these silly things that we tell ourselves in the moment.
Yeah.
And I get all uptight about it.
You know, we certainly should live cleverly, right? I mean, I think couponing is great, right? These people can go in there and spend $1,500 worth of groceries and the store actually pays them money, right? That's a clever way. And I don't mean clever disrespectfully. I mean, it's an honest way because that's within the bounds of what they're allowing.
Sure.
The cashier's sitting there ringing it up.
But I just never want to be the person behind them in the line.
No. That's true too.
That's true.
But when it crosses the line of integrity, I mean, that's a really good thing to keep in mind. And the last thing I'll say on the temptation of it is it's like the videos that we saw in school about staying away from drugs, I think did a disservice. I mean, some of them were probably good, but it's like, it's never like the homeless guy that walks up to you and says, you guys want to do some meth? Nobody's going to say yes.
Right.
But it's that cool. It's that relevant. It's that.
Those are your friends most of the time.
The friends.
Or who you call friends.
And it's the lie that you think that you can have everything you have now. When you're living life honestly, that my family won't suffer or my, but then you take one step in the wrong direction and you see, we've seen time and time again, whether it's drugs or whether it's anything, life go down a bad path.
It's interesting that you bring up the whole friend aspect offering you that. It's not because they purposefully, maliciously want you to have a giant downfall down this spiraling road of addiction. It's probably because they're hurting too. And the reason why you would even be seeking something like that in the first place is probably because you're feeling unsatisfied. Something's going on in your life where you want to be fit in or you want to you want to make the bad feelings go away or whatever it is. And I think that's where the friends started as well. Just like I was talking about, like, if I start out doing this thing, convince myself, and it's really not that big a deal for you to do it too.
I remember asking, because she would, the counselor, Mrs. Carey, she would always come in and talk to us, you know, every month or two about, hey, you know, here's, you know, peer pressures that you guys might face of anything. And I said, I finally wondered one day, I go, why are they asking us to do drugs in the first place? You know, because we watch these videos and it was none of anybody I actually knew, but I'm, why would somebody peer pressure somebody else to do that in the first place? And she goes, that's a very good question. And she goes, because they feel insecure.
Yeah.
And I had never thought, I was in elementary school, I had never thought about
unless
that.
Unless they're a drug dealer and they just want to make money.
well, sure.
And it's gone to that place for them.
But it's a key thing, even if it's something as silly as refrigerator drawers, that so often when even my friends tell me, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
It's because they want the approval from me. Mm-hmm. They want to know it's no big deal.
There's a guy that I'm going over in the Bible named David. I don't know why I'm saying it weird today. Hey, there's a little story called Creation and a little guy named David.
And have you ever heard of a little guy named Goliath?
So this is later in David's life, and the big account of, of course he has sinned prior to this moment with Bathsheba, but this is the big one, right? Mm-hmm. And he sees this gorgeous woman. She's bathing on the top of her house, and she's already married to somebody else. And if you don't know the story, it's a troubling account because David's the good guy. He's the archetype for what you need to be as a king.
Yep.
Still considered the greatest king that Israel ever had. And David sees what is not his, and he takes it. And then he has, weirdly, it's not just his this man that he has killed, the husband of the woman that he has just had an affair with, forcibly. I mean, this was her king. You do what the king tells you to do. But he starts this whole war. Basically, he's like, he tells the leader of his troops, all right, I want you to go pick a fight. I want you to go up to the, I know you're never this close, but I want you to go right up to the building there where the bad guys are, and I want you to make sure you put him in this place so that he gets killed. Mm-hmm. And immediately his, you know, his army commander knows, okay, well, this isn't even, you're not even being vague. You clearly want this guy gone. And not only does he die, but it's a battle. So other men get killed. Mm. So you go, I've only thought about the one. And then there's several. And the prophet Nathan comes in because David doesn't even think anything about it. She's pregnant. That's why he has him killed. He can't get Uriah to go and sleep with his wife so that at least they could pretend maybe, oh, I got pregnant when you came back home from the war. Mm-hmm. This guy is such a good guy. And interestingly enough, he's not even an Israelite. He's a foreigner, and he is a better man in this scenario than David ever was. Mm. He's like, I will not be with my wife when everybody else is fighting our war. That's not fair. It's not okay. So he's just this good man, and he gets him killed and several of his other guys, right? And Nathan, the prophet Nathan, comes in and he tells him this story that super relates because David is so completely in that place of not recognizing the refrigerator drawer situation. Yep. Like he is so not listening to the Spirit of God. Nathan has to come and appeal to, well, his past. David was a shepherd, and he loved his sheep. And you know that he probably had a favorite sheep here and there. You read his Psalms, there's clearly love for those little baa-baas, you know? And Nathan tells him the story about this guy who had a little sheep, little ewe that would stay with him. And it was almost like a dog with, you know, how we are in America with our animals. It would sit there and get the crumbs from the table, and everybody treated him like he was one of the family. And then some other dude who had a lot of sheep comes along and steals him. And David's like, oh, I hope it comes down fourfold on this guy. He was outraged. And that's when Nathan goes, dude, you're that guy.
You're the guy.
You got all the sheep. You took somebody else's sheep. And that's when David's like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Fully repentant. So glad to see it. It was too late, though. God does, he does refresh the situation as only God can. What was meant and done in evil, he can turn around and use forget. He doesn't want that to occur, but he can make good things come out of, he can make fruit come out of a frustrating mess,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so even though David would pay dearly for that mistake for the rest of his life, he and his family, there was discord all over the place. He ends up really losing four of his kids. It's not a pretty story. But Solomon is the second child that he will have with Bathsheba. The first one passes away. And Solomon is a part of the bloodline of Jesus Christ. And you think about, look at how God would even use a louse for his legacy, which that means me too.
Yeah.
So there's grace for me.
Even when you steal refrigerator drawers. But
especially when you steal.
But I think, and I'll end on this. I know you love the story too. Miles Davis, the great jazz musician, once said, when you hit a wrong note, mm-hmm. it's the next one that you play that determines whether it's good or bad. Mm. Now, of course, that's within the context of music and jazz music specifically, but it leads to a story of they're playing one night and his bandmate hits a wrong note. Mm-hmm. And with jazz being very impromptu, what Miles Davis, as great as he was, what he does is he then transitions in the key of that wrong note.
Yeah.
To pivot and turn into this new medley.
Improvised song.
Saved this dude's bacon from it sounding like a disaster.
Yeah.
That's what God does.
That's exactly.
I hit a wrong note.
Yeah.
I got nowhere to turn with it. And even then, and my sin, obviously his quote was about music. My sin never becomes good. But Romans tells us that God uses all things together for good who love him and are called according to his purpose. And he's able to use even my disaster to be able to pivot and bring something incredible.
Yeah. Mess out of a masterpiece. Live in proof, sitting right here in front of you. Actually, I haven't gotten the masterpiece yet.
Yeah, you'll get there.